I'm sure you're wondering what, like, maintenance guy left this all out, right? Okay, well, it actually will serve a purpose at some point here in just a moment. So, one of the things that I do at Encounter Church all the time is have a big idea. So that's what I always start with. So I just thought I'd throw one up here for you guys. You are a movement of people finding your way back to God. You know, a movement of people finding your way back to God. This is what is driving you. For us at Encounter Church, we say that we're helping people find their way back to God. In a statement like that, in this one or in the one like ours, it's this idea of the fact that we need to be in relationship with a holy God, that we've been created in His image. One of the things I love to tell people, any person, is to say that they intrinsically have value because they've been created in God's image. It's an awesome thing. It's what you get to invite people into as well. And I've got just three quick points here and a couple things that we're going to talk about. And a passage I want us to read. And it's one of the passages in Scripture, I think it's frankly the best passage in Scripture that supports this idea of a movement of people finding their way back to God or helping people find their way back to God. We actually use the exact same Bible that you guys use, so that page number is correct, by the way, if you want to take a peek at it. If you didn't bring your own Bible, I really encourage you to pick a Bible up and to take a peek at it. Love to be able to see you. You know, if you write in your Bible, sometimes people like have a Bible and they sit up on their shelf, right? And they venerate it from a distance. I think it's great to get into God's Word and to mark it up. And not in an irreligious way, but in a way where, hey, I remember where that is. That side of the page is where that is. So I invite you to turn to it, page 896. I'm going to pray. Then we're going to read a couple things of Scripture. I'm going to say a couple things. And a lot of this has to do with Mark and Kristen this morning, but it also is the greater group of all of you as well as Movement Church. So let's pray, and then we'll read this passage of Scripture. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you just for a morning where we can freely get together. Thanks for the Harmony Artistic Center opening up their doors for the ability of a church to happen here. There's so many other things that happen in this facility, but how cool is it that on Sunday mornings we get to have a church service? Lord, I pray for your word. Lord, I'm up here and I'm the person speaking this morning. Most of these people, Lord, they don't know who I am. And it's okay that they don't. What they need to know is your word. And what they need to do is be moved in their minds and in their spirit, their hearts, by your word. So I pray, Lord, that you'd use me as your vessel, but that I wouldn't be too much of a distraction. And that ultimately people would really get a sense of who you are and want to follow you. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we find ourselves in the book of 2 Corinthians. This is the Apostle Paul who wrote. He's writing a letter to this group of people he spent a lot of time with, and they've actually had questions for him. He's writing about a whole wide selection of different things in the 1 Corinthians and in 2 Corinthians. But this is literally just a letter from the Apostle Paul to a group of people, to a church. Okay? Corinth is still a city you can visit today. These aren't fairy tales. These are real places, real people. And the passage here, 2 Corinthians 5, kind of ends this way. I'm kind of starting halfway in verse 17, just so sentence-wise it makes sense, because I didn't want to go back too far. So just follow with me. We're going to start right there at the word those. It says here, those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore. For the old life is gone, a new life has begun. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. We urge you, as though Christ himself were here, pleading with you, be reconciled to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That is such a powerful passage of Scripture. I wanted to read the whole thing, and we'll kind of break it down a little bit. There are three things we're going to talk about today. The first one, and the first point, is just basically this. New believers. If you look back at the passage, look again at verse 17 and 18. Those who become Christians become new persons. They're not the same anymore. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Now, I don't know when you look at yourself, you think about yourself, but I'm guessing if you're here this morning, and I'll use the word believer, we might use Christian or Christ follower, but there was likely, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a believer, there was a time in your life when you weren't a believer. You might have been raised in the church, you might have been taught biblical things, you might not have had any of that foundation, but there's a time when you weren't a believer and then that you were. It's not one of these osmosis things where we just sort of become, you know, a Christian just because we're hanging around a church or we're hanging around other people. We literally need to make an individual decision to follow Christ. It's this idea of being a new believer. And for this church, this is one of the goals of this church, is to see people brought into relationship with other people who are following Jesus and to invite other people to become believers, to believe in this God that we're talking about. And it's one of these mysterious things because sometimes you have a conversation with someone on a train or on a plane, you're never going to see them again, and you may explain your whole life, your testimony, or how you know Jesus or whatever. And then there are other relationships that you have that are way, way longer term. One I think about in my life is this. A guy, his name is Marcus. He owns the gym that I work out at. It's called Shred Fitness. It's one of these CrossFit gyms, and it's really tough to do, right? But this guy, Marcus, didn't even know I was a pastor. I don't lead with that. I prefer people to not know so they don't start, like, thinking things about me, like I wear robes or, you know, that people have to kiss my ring or something weird like that. It's just simply I'm a guy, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I also happen to be a pastor and shepherd a group of people. Well, getting to know this guy, Marcus, when he finally found out who I was, and some of the other people working out there were also followers of Christ, he would ask questions but with a negative bent. He would say, oh, I went to college, and, you know, I was raised kind of religiously, but I went to college, and this professor talked about this stuff, and I'm just got doubts all over the place. How can there be one true God? There's got to be many paths and all this stuff. Well, then, getting into relationship with this guy for over this last year and a half, eventually invited him to church. Some of the other people did, and I talked about it. He came to one of our small group Bible studies, but he kept asking questions with a negative bent, with a questioning attitude, not with a belief kind of thing, or I'm curious. It was more like, what about this? And then all of a sudden, over this year and a half, spending time with us, hanging out with us, just living life, the trials and the joys of his normal life, asking more and more questions, we started hearing it differently. And then he would talk about praying a little bit and talking to God himself. And he was not a believer. He was not a follower of Jesus yet. And then all of a sudden, a year and a half goes by, and he gets to the point where he's broken in life. He's about to be a new dad. He's newly married. He's got this transition happening in his business. And literally this past April, having Marcus come to me and saying, I'm going to be a new dad, and I'm scared. And he's this big, tough guy, okay? And all of a sudden, there's these tears coming down his face. And he's like, and I got this job transition thing that's happening. I don't know what to do. And based off of this year and a half, I said, Marcus, you need Jesus. You need Christ in your life. You need a solid rock. And I'm not kidding. And this doesn't happen to me very often. I feel like my role all the time is what Paul talks about here, is reconciling, is bringing people, you know, inviting them to accept Christ or to get to know him more. But literally, 2 months ago, Marcus and I got on our knees, him weeping, and I put my hands on him, and I literally prayed a prayer with him, and I invited him to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he did, and it was this awesome moment. 2 Sundays ago, he came to church. So this is like in April. 2 Sundays ago, he came to church, and he says to me in the hallway, just past the coffee area, just before into the room like this, he goes, hey, he goes, what has two thumbs and loves Jesus? I go, what? I don't know. I do. I was like, that's awesome. He goes, you can use that if you want. I was like, oh, okay. So I just did. I'll tell him I said to you today. So, I mean, it's one of those things where you get into relationship with people, and Marcus wasn't a project. He's the guy who trains me. He brings value into my life on how to work out. If he rejects Christ, I'm not going to reject him. I'm keeping relationship with him. But it's one of those things where whoever you're in relationship with, I think if you're a follower of Christ, you're at some point going to be confronted with the idea of, maybe I should tell them sometime about who this God is, who it is I choose to follow. And with Marcus, I, you know, again, a year and a half, I've seen other people 5-6 years before they decided to follow Christ. It's not an instantaneous thing. Sometimes it is. It's one of those things where I think it's what we've been designed to do. Now, here's these kind of these cool things, right? This drill is designed for a reason. There's a designer. Oh, shoot, it's not working. Oh, wait. It needs to be plugged into a power source. And all of a sudden, when it's plugged into a power source, it can literally be used for the reason it was designed for. And I think that's what we are like as human beings. Those of us who walk around and we don't have relationship with Christ, it's like there's a hole in our life. And I had to have a blow dryer too, right? Because ladies can, you know, maybe, or at least some of maybe as you men can't relate with a drill. So you need a power source. You need to be plugged into a power source. And the power source, in my opinion, is God. He's the one who's designed us to be who we are. But you get away from the power source and you kind of lose purpose. This looks like a blow dryer, but without being plugged in, it can't serve a purpose. I can't, like, ooh, I better not do that to your mom. No, it can look pretty and all, but it's not functioning the way it's supposed to by the designer. So we want to invite people into relationship to become new believers. And by doing that, we're seeking God's kingdom. We're helping people find their way back to God. We're a movement of people finding our way back to God. You need to know this too. As a pastor, the three of us in relationship for years, Rick and Mark and I, do you understand we need help finding our way back to God? It's not like we're the ones who just do this all the time and everyone gets to watch. It's all of us. I easily can walk away from God. Every decision of my life can be closer to God or farther from God, right? My wife helps me find my way back to God. Having kids helps me find my... It's an accountability system. I'll tell you, one of the best things for me, and it's like awesome and awful all at once, is doing premarital counseling, right? I get together with this young, lovey-dovey couple, right? And I'm telling them all the things that's really important, and all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, man, I got to remember, I got to apply this to my own marriage and life, right? It's one of these... It helps me find my way back to God. So whether someone doesn't know God at all, or whether someone's like me, I received Jesus, I was raised in the church, but I received Christ at 9. I've been following him for like 30-some-odd years, but I can still veer off, and I need help finding my way back to God. We do that within the context of community, whether it's Grace Church, Encounter, or here at Movement. So new believers, so here it is. Is he in you? Is Christ in you? Are you plugged into the power source? And if so, when was it? It's one of those great things to remember. It's one of the reasons I think why you guys have a testimony time here. It's why we have one up at Encounter Church. I mean, 99% of the time, we have someone getting up in front of the congregation talking about what Christ means in their life, how he's worked in their life. It's so that people don't just say, well, he did something like 2,000 years ago, right? I mean, that's what we read about. No, he did it then, and he still does it today. Christ powerfully works in the lives of people today. And this is the goal, to see people become new believers. Not projects, but to see them invited into relationship with God, invited into relationship with people like you. Okay? So then once we're a believer, then there's something else that comes, right? Then there's this idea of once you're a believer, then you become a leader. Now that may blow your mind a little bit and say, how could you be a leader? What, I mean, you mean you just become a believer and now you're a leader? Well, my belief is once you're a follower of Christ, you're leading people in some way. Even if you don't follow Christ, I think that it stands to reason. If you're a parent, if you're a teacher, if you're in the workplace, you're in some way, you're leading. But when you're a follower of Christ, you're someone who is a leader. You've got the Spirit of God living within you. Let me go back to the passage again, okay? Because we just talked about being somebody new. Verse 17 and 18 said, you're a new person. The old life is gone, the new has come. But now, look at verses 19 and 20. Look how Paul commissions these individuals that now that they're followers of Christ. This may be you today. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. You get this idea of this helping people find their way back to God? Did you see some of that here? That God brought us back to himself in verse 18. And now it is here. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting sins, people's sins against them. Now look at what he says here in verse 20. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. Yeah, I don't want to go into it too deeply, but you think about someone who's an ambassador, If you ever met an ambassador, I mean, that's a pretty important person. This is the person representing a country, and they typically live in a different country, right? I mean, we have an American ambassador to Canada. We have an American ambassador to whatever country is around the world. They represent the United States. This is the same level we're talking about in our relationship with Christ. This is why I say, you know, once you're a new believer, you become a leader. Because you are leading people, you become a representative of Christ. Now, you may not be a perfect representative, but you're someone that's on the course. You're beginning to grow. You're beginning to learn. And this idea of being a new leader, I want you to understand, this is at the core of what we're talking about here at Movement Church. I'm going to show you some things in a minute that came right out of a church planting proposal. So this idea of new believers is key to who you are at Movement Church, but the idea of seeing people developed into new leaders as well is just paramount to who you are as a church. One of the cool ways we see this happen, and one of the places we see in Scripture this really rings true, is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2:2:2. Take a peek at this. I'm not going to show the second slide to you yet, but listen to this. It says, find four levels of mentoring or coaching or relationship. You, this is Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, who was a young man who he mentored, who he coached in walking as a pastor. You have heard me teach many things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Teach these great truths to trustworthy people who are able to pass them on to others. Do you see how many levels of passing on this truth is? Do you see it there? Take a look at this slide here. Paul's talking about himself, me, right? You've heard me, Timothy. You've heard me as Paul teach these things, right? Then he says, you teach these great truths. And not just to anybody. Teach them to trustworthy people. People who are going to be reliable. People who are going to take this truth. People who are going to be ambassadors and take the truth and bring it to other people. But then don't leave it there. Those trustworthy people can pass it along even to others. It's literally four levels of taking information. Now, it's great for business. I mean, you could take this and bring it directly into the work world, okay? But Paul is taking this and talking it in a spiritual way and saying, it's mentoring, it's coaching. And we call it the 2:2:2 principle. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, 2:2:2. And this is what it looks like for us in Encounter Church. We literally call it the 2:2:2 principle, and it's basically this idea of, I do something, like, I mean, maybe I'm up here and I'm playing the drums, right? And I want to teach somebody how to do it. I'm going to play, and I'm going to let somebody watch me do it. And then we're going to talk about it afterwards. What did you think? Then I'm going to do it, and you're going to help me do it. Maybe I have one stick and you have the other. That will never work, okay. But still, the idea of coming together, and then you talk. The idea of then saying, hey, guess what? You're on this week. You're going to do it, and I'm going to help, and then we're going to talk. And it's basically, if you walk through this, you're passing on ministry to other people. You're passing on knowledge. You're passing on your experience. You're not leaving it just to you. Mark and Kristen are not all that Movement Church is. This is Movement Church. It's everybody. It's people who aren't here this morning but still consider this their church home. It's whoever feels relationally connected and tied. And then there may be people that Mark chooses to meet with, or I choose to meet with, that don't even go to our representative churches, and yet we still want to sow into their lives or bring value into their lives. Now here's a picture. I didn't know Rick and Tammy were going to be here, but here's an example of it for me in my life personally. That's Rick Newsom. He's like 60-something. Then there's Clancy. He's like 50-something. I'm Sean. I'm like 40-something. Then there's Mark, who's like 30-something. And there's Josh, who's like 20-something. I had this picture taken on purpose about a year and a half ago because we're literally a decade apart, almost to the year, all of us as men. Now, this happens in women's relationships. I'm just talking to me because I'm a dude, right? I mean, but ladies, you do this exact same thing in relationships as well. Rick Newsom is the greatest mentor in my life. I've known him for over 20 years, even beyond my own father. He has spoken into my life more than any other man. I'm honored that he's here today. Clancy Cruz is a guy who planted a church a decade ago in Marysville, and I asked if he would be my coach for 18 months before I planted and as I planted Encounter Church 5 years ago. Now, Mark's a guy who he and I worked together at Grace Church, where we were like the two extroverts on staff that automatically made us best friends there. Anyway, But I've had the privilege, and Mark can say it about me, I don't have to say it about myself, but I've enjoyed time with Mark, and we've dreamed of church planning, we've talked about ministry, we've prayed together about individuals, some of you that we love and want to see find your way back to God. And then there's Josh as well. Josh is someone I've known, it's amazing. He went to Grace Church originally years ago too. I think I've known Josh since he was like 7. You know? And it's been awesome to see him grow up and to see what God is doing in his life. And now he's leading your worship here. And who knows what God will continue to do in all of our lives. But it's mentoring. It's getting alongside someone. And I would just say this to you. If you're a new believer, you're automatically a leader. But it doesn't mean you're on your own. You're standing on the shoulders of different individuals. Think of them now. You may be here and you're a grandparent. Who is it that sowed into your life how to walk with God? You're a lady here this morning. Maybe you're in your teens still. Who is it that comes to mind and you say, wow, this is the individual that really took time? For me, I hate to tell you, it's not my own father. It should be, but it wasn't. Maybe you've got a dad that didn't really meet up to snuff and really help you like he could have and should have. Bummer. That's kind of my situation. I have a relationship with my dad, but he doesn't speak into my life when it comes to this kind of stuff. So I found somebody else to speak into my life. And there's been numerous men and women. So I would just propose this to you. As a leader, you should be either having someone mentoring you and you mentoring someone else all the time. I think you should be looking for someone above you and someone that you can bring value into their life. This is the way I'd suggest doing it, though, because it's awkward otherwise. You ask someone to mentor you. You don't say, I'm going to step into your life and mentor you, okay? Sometimes it just kind of doesn't come off quite right when you say, I've got some great value, and I'm going to bring it to you, okay? I don't know why. So don't do that. But the idea is, if you're having someone bring value into your life in your Christian walk, likely someone will recognize that and ask to be mentored by you. It's happened for me over and over again. And I have purposeful people. I meet with Rick Newsom about once a month still. And it's been 5 years since I departed from Grace Church. I want him to continue to bring value into my life. I have other men that do it. And then, of course, I'm married to a woman that constantly brings value into my life. Because I constantly get it wrong. She gets to do a lot of neat things in my life. It's great. So having someone speak into your life or you speaking to someone else's should be one of those obvious things. It's the 2-2-2 principle. Then the last thing is, what's the result of a new believer and these leaders? And as you grow together, I mean, you may be a new believer that's you're like a week into your Christian walk. And you say, I'm not a leader. No, find someone who isn't a follower yet or who's only been a follower for one day. You're a leader. Find someone, you know, get into relationship, hang with people. But then what's the result? Well, this is the result right now, right here. Churches start. I'm preaching right now at Encounter. I'm not there this morning, but I got a guy preaching for me, a young guy who I'm gently mentoring, and I'm letting him preach at the church I lead today for the first time, and I should be there, but I'm with you people. But that's okay. That's okay. I'll listen to his message and tell him how he did later. But it's just one of these things where churches pop up all of a sudden when there's new believers. And you read through the book of Acts, and I just got to, as a side note, just tell you. You read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, and that's like Jesus' birth to his like ascension and back to heaven. It's like 30 years. You read the book of Acts, it's the next 30 years. And what's happening? The Spirit of God comes down onto people, and churches are being planted all over the place. It's exciting stuff. New believers, new leaders, and then new churches. And that should, by the way, be the order. It shouldn't be, hey, let's make a church happen, and then hopefully we'll see this. No, the natural way to see it happen is people come to Christ, and then there's leaders, and then all of a sudden now churches get born out of that. And that's who you are as a church. That's who you are as a church. New churches. It's just one of those things where Mark and I talked about this morning, and I said, well, what would you like me to bring? What would you like me to say? And so some of the things I'm saying for sure from me, but Mark and I talked about it, and he goes, well, bring some things back from our proposal. This is what's kind of cool. There's history to you as a church plant. This is my first time here on a Sunday morning. Maybe it's your first time. But I want you to know, this wasn't done on a whim. There was planning and prayer and years. So look at this next slide. This is part of a church planting proposal Mark and Kristen put together years ago. Okay, back in like 2000, they were probably beginning to work on it in 2010 and a little bit in 11. But just, I'm not going to read everything there, but it's kind of fun to see there, September the
September, it says Approached by Encounter Church, right? That's when I said to Mark and Kristen, we'd talked about church planting a little bit, but I had never really asked the question until right then, would you consider planting a church? We'd like to help partner with that. And by the way, you need to know, Grace Church, that Marysville Church with Clancy, probably about four or five other churches have all financially and prayerfully invested into Movement Church. It's not just Encounter. But you follow a timeline, and all of a sudden you got raising of funds and gathering a core team, and there's like hash marks. There's things where he was trying to say, okay, well, we've got some things we're going to set up and try to hit those goals. January, preview worship services. Yep, you did that. March the 30th, egg drop. Yep. 31st, launch service. And April, and from then until now, weekly services. It's been cool to see this lived out. Time and prayer and preparation came into this. Now go to the next slide. That was just a timeline. But now let's get to some of the things that you say that you value. You see, because I'm going to hold you accountable. I didn't give you, not just me, but Encounter Church didn't just give you tens of thousands of dollars to go put on a cool little worship show and blah, you know. We want to see you really seek God's kingdom and see new believers happen. So this is your own dashboard, right? You're going to inspect the things you expect. I hope you do. What's important to you? The things that are important to you, the things you're going to actually inspect. You're going to say, hey, how can we do better here? What needs to change? Well, new believers, baptism, small groups, new leaders. Hey, that's part of my points this morning. How about that? It came right out of your stuff. Serving others, attendance, and offering. These are all things that need to be monitored, right? Offering. Your financial giving is worship. If you don't give, this place can't be paid for. They can't be compensated for. This beautiful bunch of equipment can't be paid for. It's just one of those things where we give of our offerings. We call them tithes sometimes, right? It's, you know, I think it's great. Give 10% of your gross income to something like this, or help with Compassion International, or Vision Trust with orphans, or some other thing within the community that you believe in. I know a lot of you come from CRU, which is the Campus Crusade for Christ back at OSU. Support the other kingdom work. Attendance, all those different things, valued things, baptisms. I know you guys did some baptisms on Easter. It was cool to see the big glow tank here. Weird, love it. I'm sure it added to the aura of the moment. Okay, and then this next thing. That was the dashboard, things you inspect, right? But now your DNA. This is really important stuff, folks. If you're going to make this your church home, this is the stuff you got to know. So I'm just here to help remind you. It's my privilege to do that. I'm sure you hear that. But we will be gospel, driven by the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ, you know, alive, crucified, buried, raised from the dead. He conquered death so that you and your sin could be washed away. Do you remember back in the passage? Look again, if you still have it open there. 2 Corinthians, that passage I read to you. Look what it said God did to Jesus for you and I. Verse 21, for God the Father, that's who it's talking about, for God made Christ, who never sinned. He never did anything wrong, Jesus. And he took on your sin. Because all we ever do, it seems at times, is wrong. Everything you've ever done in your life, whatever it is you think, is the thing that holds your relationship from God at bay, was literally put on to Christ's shoulders. God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin. See, because sin's got to be punished. This is the gospel. You deserve to be punished. I deserve to be punished. It's not fun to talk about sometimes. Lots of churches don't like talking about it. But the fact of the matter is people are going to be separated from God unless they're invited into relationship with him. We have a culture that loves to say, we're all just the children of God. Oh, come on. You're a sinner from birth, and you need relationship. And because of sin, you've been broken. Your relationship with God has been... You're created in his image. We'll go all the way back to Genesis and say, absolutely, you've got value. God's moral imprint is put on you as a person. So you've got great value. But we want to be a movement of people finding our way back to God. I'm finding my way. He's finding his way as your pastor. And he wants to bring other people along. And that's being driven by the gospel. And you can read through. I'm not going to read through all of them. It'll take too long and I'll get in trouble. Look at number four. We will push to give God the excellence he deserves. Our time, our talent, our treasure. You know? We will lead, number six, the way in generosity, honor, and giving. And Encounter Church gives 20%+ of everything that comes in away. We don't even call it missions. We just call it giveaway. I know Mark is leading you in a similar way. Too many people in our culture think, oh, you just want our money. No, we're trying to rent facilities, and it's not that you won't ever own a building someday, but when you rent, it gives you the flexibility to be able to give away more. You're not paying for a huge mortgage or fixing a roof or repaving a parking lot. You can tangibly give to others, and it's not to say the buildings are bad. We're in 2 weeks about to move into a traditional church building. We're going to keep renting for now, but it's just one of those things where this idea of generosity should be part of your DNA. It's why it's on this proposal. That's why people like me and people like Grace Church and Marysville and another church in Pickerington and Worcester and individuals gave time and talent and treasures to this work, because we read stuff like this and we said, if this is who you're all about, then yeah, we'll support that. We'll support that. Last slide of the day is this, right? You better prove it. I'm going to constantly be in relationship with this young man. Okay? And Rick's constantly in relationship with me. And it's a good accountability system. And Encounter Church is watching you, lovingly watching you. We want you more than anything to succeed. But what is success? It's not just a rock and band. It's not just getting big. It's literally having new believers and new leaders and new churches. Mark's told me he wants to plant other churches. You're Encounter Church's first church plant. He better plant a church within the next 5 years, or he's in big trouble. So you people better continue to give, and you better continue to become growing in your leadership, and new churches will start. And you know what? It's not for me. It's for God's glory. It's for God's glory. So let me just end by saying this here. If you're here and you're a new believer, awesome. Find someone that can spend time with you and grow you in your faith. If you're here and you're not a believer, man, I'm telling you, keep asking questions. Keep showing up. Even if you're asking questions like Marcus did with a negative bent, keep hanging out with these people. Keep seeing if what they're doing is authentic and true, and that there's integrity with it. So non-believer, new believer, growing in your faith believer, continue to sharpen those skills, serve in multiple areas here at Movement Church. And then I would even put this challenge out to you here. As my last point was new churches. I said from day one almost of starting Encounter Church 5 years ago, I want you to be dreaming about maybe if God's asking you to leave Encounter Church to start a new church. I don't know when, where, who. When I said those statements, I didn't know it was Mark and Kristen that were going to lead that church. I didn't know they'd be meeting in Hilliard. And I didn't know financially how it would happen. But we put money toward it. We put prayers toward it. And I cast vision toward it. Do you know that Phil and Jen Hill used to be extremely valuable to me at Encounter Church, but they're now with you? That was a good loss for me, because they came and they brought value here, and they're leading here. You know, Ryan Janosko, right? Jano? He's the guy who always did my PowerPoints at the back. Now I have to do them myself. No, I'm just kidding. We found somebody else to do it. We really did. It's one of those things where we raise up leaders, and then we send them out. We raise up leaders, we raise up new believers, and we send them out. That's my prayer for you. I want you to hold me accountable like I'm holding this guy accountable. He's just committed to a lifetime of service with that sweet woman sitting beside him. You better do it, or you're in trouble. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to close in a song. God, we thank you for this morning. I am just a blessed man. It's like I'm a father sending off a son. Thank you for this group of people that were here on this particular morning. Lord, that you would burn into their minds and their hearts what happened here. This isn't about us. This is about you, God. We're needing to lower our view of ourselves and raise our view of you, God. If what we sing, if what we give financially in a minute, if what we say, the heart motives, if they're not for you, then they're going to be burned up someday. The joy we have, Lord, is to know that as we commit our lives to you, you're the one who gets the glory. I'm just thankful you chose to include us and you made Christ the payment for my sin and the sin of those here. Thanks so much for doing that, God. We pray we bring glory to you now through song and through the time of our gifts giving. We pray this in Jesus' name.